This morning I'm going to say several single words or combinations of words, and I want you to tell me your initial reaction to those words. Okay, I want your initial reaction. So is this something that you love? Is this something that you extremely dislike? Is this something that you are indifferent to? Is this something that you have no idea about or whatever the case? So the first word is this, mustard. Mustard. Okay, so Cleve says hot dog, but that's not, is that your reaction to it? Is this something that you like or you don't like? Is this something that you really don't care much about? Do you love mustard? How many of you love mustard? I like mustard. Ah, great. I have some mustard lovers here. How many of you absolutely do not like mustard? Okay, there's about the same number of people that really don't care for mustard. And then probably the rest of you, it's okay on some things. It's okay if you take it or you leave it. All right, so the next word here, are you ready for it? Actually, it's two words, sauerkraut. Sauerkraut. I think this is another thing. You either love it or you hate it. Okay, so let me see your hands if you love it. And, okay, so quite a few hands here. You love sauerkraut. How many of you really don't like sauerkraut? Okay, I would be here. I really don't like sauerkraut. Okay, another food here, Brussels sprouts. Okay, do you love it? I love Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts are great. Okay, how many of you really don't like Brussels sprouts? Okay, quite a few people really don't like Brussels sprouts. Okay, we're going to shift gears here. Okay, sports. I know not everybody is a sports fan here. I say the word Yankees, okay, and I'm talking about the New York Yankees. How many of you love the Yankees? I want to see your hands here. Okay, I see a few hands. How many of you really don't like the Yankees? Okay, I see more than a few hands there. Okay, we're going to go to football. I'm going to say the word Patriots, and we're talking about the New England Patriots. How many of you love the Patriots? Okay, we have someone. Okay, we have like-minded people over here. How many of you really don't like the Patriots? Okay, there's quite a few that don't like the Patriots either. All right, we're going to talk about vehicles for just a little while. Okay, if I say the word Ford, how many of you love Ford? Or how many of you really don't like Fords? Okay, there's a few that don't like Fords. Or how many of you really don't care all that much? You know, some of you really don't care. Okay, how about Chevy or GM? Okay, we have some people that really like Chevy or GM. How many of you really don't like Chevy or GM? Or some of you probably don't care all that much. Maybe I shouldn't talk about people all that much because we need to love everybody, right? And we don't necessarily want to get feelings stirred up one way or another, so we're going to just, but we're going to talk about people because I'm going to talk about one person in particular, but let's talk about Barack Obama. Okay, I'm not going to ask for hands here. Okay, or if I would say President Donald Trump, okay? Not going to ask for hands there. If I talk about Jesus, though, I hope that we're all united. We love Jesus, right? Okay, so if you ask people out there, outside of this church building, their thoughts about Barack Obama or their thoughts about Donald Trump, you know, you're going to have all different types of ideas. You're going to have people that love that individual or that strongly dislike that individual. And the same is true when it comes to Jesus Christ as well. There are some people that are going to say, I love Jesus. He's my Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the one who died for my sins. He is my friend. There's going to be other people that say, I strongly dislike. And they'd use other words too concerning Jesus. Of all the people in this world, you ask people whether you like this person or whether you don't like that person. What's your opinion about Jesus? It's that question that you're going to get the strongest like or dislike probably. What's your opinion about Jesus? Well, as we turn in our Bibles this morning to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 13. This divided response to Jesus is nothing new. There have been centuries, even millennia, where there have been people that either have been for Jesus or against Jesus. There really can't be any middle ground. Now, granted, some people don't even know the name Jesus. But either you're for Jesus or you're against Jesus. You're for the true God or you're against the true God. You either love Jesus or you hate Jesus. You're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. That's how it is. But this morning, we want to direct our attention on Jesus. Jesus is one who has been rejected by many, He has been received by some. And as we go to the book of John, chapter 1, I invite you to follow along as I read verses 1 through 18. And we see in this passage how Jesus, yes, he is rejected by many, but he is received by some. John chapter 1, follow along with me as I read verses 1 down through verse 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. In just these first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, we have the reference to this one known as the Word. In the beginning was the Word. This Word was with God. This Word is God. This Word created all things. This Word is life, and this Word is light. And John the Baptist long ago testified concerning this Word who is the light. In verse 14 of this chapter, we read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. This one was full of grace and truth. Now, who is this one referred to as the Word in John chapter 1? It is none other than Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. This Word is the Creator who became man. And why did the Word become man? Why did Jesus need to come to this earth? Well, he came to reveal the Father to humankind. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. Jesus is the only way for people like you and I to be right with a holy God. Now, whenever the Word came to this world, whenever Jesus lived on this earth, how did people respond to him? How did they respond to him? What opinions were held of Jesus? Well, John, as we'd read through his gospel, he'd provide for us a detailed account of how people responded to Jesus. And it's very clear, some people accepted him for who he is, but many other people rejected him. They refused to believe his claims to be God, to be the Messiah, to be the Savior of the world. Many rejected him, but some received him. Jesus is one who is both hated and loved. He is received and rejected. And notice specifically in John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we will consider how people rejected Jesus. Even though Jesus is the genuine light, even though he's the creator of this world, even though he came to his own people, he was rejected by many. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we just read it. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John the Baptist so long ago proclaimed concerning Jesus. He testified concerning this light who is Jesus. And he testified concerning him that he is not just any ordinary light. He is the true light. He is the genuine light. Now, what does light do? Light makes manifest. It reveals, doesn't it? And so how has God revealed himself in ages past? Well, we realize he's spoken in various ways. He's revealed himself through creation. He's revealed himself through the words of the prophets. He's revealed himself through various dreams or visions. He's shown himself to men through like Moses and the burning bush, or the children of Israel as God showed himself through the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. So God revealed himself to his people in so many different ways. But whenever God revealed himself through Jesus, the incarnate word, he revealed himself in the ultimate way. Jesus is the true light. He is the ultimate light. He is the ultimate revelation of the Father. Jesus came to this earth, and he declared the Father in a way that no one else had ever declared him. You realize Jesus is not just someone who declares God. He does declare God, but Jesus is himself God in the flesh. So as Jesus walked this earth, anyone that came in contact with him, anyone that saw what he did, anyone that heard his words, they were seeing the works of God. They were hearing the words of God. Jesus, God in the flesh. Jesus, the light of the world. And as Jesus walked this earth, the light of God's glory was being shed abroad. Jesus showed the glory of God so brilliantly. This word, this Son of God incarnate, Jesus the Messiah, was in the world. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. He frequented Jerusalem. He walked the paths of Israel with his fellow Jews. He was in the world. This one who made the world so long ago was now in the world, living as a man. This creator had humbled himself and joined himself with his creation. Yet he was without any sin. His creation had fallen, but here is Jesus the Messiah joining himself to his creation, but yet he is still holy and sinless. And why did Jesus come? He came to save this world of its sin. This is something that only he could do as the perfect God-man. So the Word, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he came to the world, but how did the world respond to him? The world did not know him. The world did not recognize him. See, this world is filled with sinners, sinners in rebellion against the true God. And this world chose not to have any type of fellowship, any type of relationship with the Lord Jesus, with the true light. They chose instead to continue to live in darkness, the darkness of sin. See, the Word, Jesus Christ, came to his own. And we could really say Jesus came home, because Jesus came to his own people, the Jews. Jesus came to his own place, the promised land. Jesus came to his own people. He came to what he had made. But how did his people respond? They rejected him, by and large, didn't they? They refused to receive him. Here is God in their midst. Jesus, he did so many mighty miracles and so many signs. He did so many things to show himself as God. But so many people just rejected the light that was shining before them. They closed their eyes. So many people accused Jesus as one who was born out of sexual immorality. They thought of Jesus simply as a carpenter's son, and that's it. They thought of him as one of their own, and that they thought of him as just another sinner just like them. But Jesus is so much more. John says it so clearly in this passage. The Word, Jesus Christ, came to his own, but his own refused to accept him. The world rejected him. Instead of hailing Jesus as King and Messiah and Savior, they called out for his crucifixion. They labeled him as a blasphemer. They crucified the Lord of glory. How do people respond to Jesus? We see how people responded to Jesus many years ago. Sadly, today, in Norwoodville, in Des Moines, in Iowa, in the United States, throughout the world, there are many people that have turned their back on Jesus. They have rejected the Son of God. They have shielded their eyes to the light of the gospel. Many reject Jesus yet today, even though he's the genuine light. Even though he's the creator of the world, even though he's the one that came to his own, many reject Jesus. Now, if that's the end of the story, it'd be a very sad story. Now, it's still a sad story because so many people reject Jesus, but there's more as we look at verse 12 of John chapter 1, because as we continue reading, we realize there are some who receive Jesus as Savior. There are some who believe on his name. There are some that are given the right by God to be his own children. Look there at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm so thankful that not all of humanity has rejected Jesus. I'm so thankful I'm part of a group of people here this morning who can testify together, Jesus is my Savior, I have received him. Not everyone in this world has refused to accept Jesus as Savior. There are some that have been saved out of this world. There are some who accept Jesus for who he is. As we think about the time when Jesus was on this earth, there are some that heard the words of Jesus. There are some that saw his miracles and his signs, and they recognized Jesus as someone special. They believed on him as the Son of God incarnate. They knew that he was no ordinary man. He was the Messiah and the Savior. Now, those who trusted in Jesus at that point in time, was it that they had some special spiritual ability to discern who Jesus is? Could they take credit for themselves for recognizing Jesus as the Savior? The answer is no. Do you remember whenever Peter confessed concerning Jesus that you are the Son of the living God? You are the Christ. How does Jesus respond then? He says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So whoever recognizes Jesus for who he is, whoever responds to Jesus as the true, the genuine, the ultimate light, it's not anything in and of themselves. There's no credit that we can take. It's all the Father's responsibility. All the glory goes to him. It's only by God's grace that anyone recognizes Jesus for who he is. It's only by God's grace that we accept the gospel of Jesus. It's by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. There are some people that receive Jesus. And for those who receive Jesus, something is given to them by God. They are given power, or as we read in the King James, that word power is the idea of they're given the authority or the right to become the children of God. Yes, formerly they were part of the devil's family, but now they are part of God's family. They're given full authority, the full rights and privileges to be called the children of God. Whereas before, the devil was their father, now after receiving Jesus as Savior, God is their father, and they are his children. As God's children, as ones who have accepted Jesus, we can pray to the Father at any time. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to hold all of our burdens on our own shoulders? We can go to God at any time because he is our Father and he loves us. We are his children and he will care for us. God will take care of us. What a wonderful gift to be given the right to be called the children of God. All of us who have believed on his name. Now, when John talks about believing on Jesus' name, it means believing or trusting in everything that Jesus is, accepting him for who he is. Jesus himself said this in John chapter 5 and verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." All those who accept Jesus as Savior, whoever receives Jesus, there is a transfer made. They are transferred from the realm of death to the realm of life. No longer are they condemned, but they are given true life. They are truly blessed. That's why Peter says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "There's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the name of Jesus." Now, we know people respond to Jesus in different ways. There are many people that reject him. Yes, Jesus was in this world, and the majority of the people just rejected him. They would have nothing to do with him. They called out for his death. But there are some who by God's grace receive Jesus. They believe on his name. They are given the right to be called God's children. These ones are born again, not by any natural means, but by God himself. Look at verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So how do we become a child of God? We've already read how we become a child of God. It's by receiving Jesus. It's by believing on his name, by trusting Jesus. But how does it work? Who is the one responsible for us becoming a child of God? It's not by any natural process. Now, we think about all of us here. We are all people who have been physically born from our parents. And we know that there are natural processes that are involved here. But our second birth is totally different. It's a supernatural birth. So those who become the children of God, they don't become God's children by natural means. John says they're not born of blood. So it's not brought about by the union of two blood-pumping humans. There's no blood relationship involved in the birth that makes us children of God. When we become children of God, it's not by the will of the flesh. There's no conception that's the result of natural desires. That's how it is with a physical birth, a physical conception and birth, but that's not how it is with our rebirth, our spiritual birth. John says it's not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of the man. And so that word for man in the King James is talking about the male. So a lot of times when you have a marriage and you have children born, it's the man that's, you know, taking kind of taking the initiative there. Well, John is saying it's not the initiative of the husband or the man in the relationship. No, it's not that natural relationship that's responsible for our birth as children of God. Who is the one that is responsible for our birth as children of God? It's God himself. We are born of God. God is the one who is our Father. God is the one who has begotten us. He is the one that brings a child of God into existence. So God is the one that takes all the action. God is the one that does everything necessary to bring his offspring into existence. It is God's will, it's God's purpose that we can trace to our being children of God. As we think about Jesus, there are many people that reject him. Thankfully, there are some that receive him. So amazing as we think about what God has done for us in Jesus. God sent his Son to show the world who he is. God sent his Son so that the world would have a Savior. God opened the eyes of some so that they would accept Jesus for who he is. And when those ones who trusted in Jesus, whenever they trusted, they were given the right to be called God's own children. And as God's children, we can't take any responsibility for our status. All the glory goes to God. And so when I say this word Jesus, how do we respond? We respond with joy, don't we? We respond with thankfulness. We respond with worship. We respond with awe. You know, if that's how you're responding this morning, I would say that that's evidence that you are a child of God, because you love Jesus and you worship him and you recognize him for who he is. But perhaps you're here this morning and you hear that name Jesus and really it doesn't mean anything to you. Or perhaps there's some feelings of hostility that arise in your heart when you hear the word Jesus. Well, if that's the case with you this morning, my tendency is to think that maybe you haven't received Jesus yet. But the offer is for everyone. Receive Jesus, and you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. You will be given eternal life. See, the light has shone upon this world. All we need to do is accept the light. Accept Jesus. You know, as we leave this building very soon, we'll be rubbing shoulders with people. And if we talk with them about Jesus, you know, some of them will be happy and joyful, and they'll say, yes, Jesus is my Savior too, and he's changed my life. But other people, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's your coworker, maybe it's your family member, they'll be angry whenever you talk with them about Jesus, or maybe they'll not want you to talk about him anymore. They'll tell you they hate Jesus, or you know, they'll tell you, well, Jesus is just another man, or whatever they may tell you. Well, you know what? Those people need to hear about Jesus, don't they? Because as we tell them about Jesus, God may very well soften their hearts so that they too recognize who he is and accept him as Savior and as Lord.